a special Graft Cidery Showcase episode of
Brutal Battle.
So Carla and I have switched roles for this episode.
It already feels weird. Like, very, very weird.
So I'm taking lead. I kind of wanted to do something new. This was my idea. Mm-hmm. Ciders are kind of, you know, up and coming and increasing in popularity. And I thought it would be kind of cool to highlight Graft Cidery.
Yeah. This is one that I don't think I've consumed an entire can of any of their stuff yet. I think I've only tasted a little bit from you out of whatever you've been drinking. I think I've only tried like maybe two, but I remember thinking they were pretty good. They seem to be from my, like, I actually didn't do any research, so I don't know about this place, but from my perception, it seems to me like they are trying to make the ciders very craft beer-like.
Yeah.
To bridge that gap and get people to come over from craft beer to cider.
And that was, to kind of jump ahead, that was one of the things, reading through doing my research for this episode, one of the founders, Kyle Scherrer, S-H-E-R-R-E-R.
Sure.
Oh, and our cat has also joined us this episode, so if you hear her little paws
walking on the table.
But that's what he was saying. He would be at like craft beer events and people would be like, I don't like cider. Like, I'm not going to try your product. And he would say, well, do you like sour beers?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that would be kind of a lead in.
Well, It's also a good gluten-free option.
Exactly. Yeah. That's another talking point I have is, yeah, for a lot of people, they can't drink beer.
Well, I mean, things have gotten a lot better with gluten extraction, with things like Brewer's Clarex, with craft beer, but I don't really know of a ton of breweries that are doing that, so having cider, you don't have to ask, is this gluten-free? Cider is always going to be gluten-free,
right,
unless they're adding something else in that has gluten.
Right, but all of Graft ciders are gluten-free. Even they do collaborations with other breweries, which, you know, I'll get to, but they're always still gluten-free.
So, since our roles are reversed, when do I get to open one of these ciders to drink?
Isn't it boring when you're just like...
I'm sick of listening to you already. Give me a cider.
I know. Okay.
No, I'm fine with it. I just wanted to...
I know. So we have an offering of four in front of us. And honestly, I just kind of went through and picked out four that I thought looked good before I did any research. So fortunately or unfortunately, I did not pick up any other flagship. And truth be told, I don't even know what we get distribution-wise.
Yeah, I don't...
So we may not get them. I don't know. All I know is I picked out... So three out of the four are from the same line, and one is one of the collabs. But they only have two core or flagship offerings, and they have nine that are retired core. Which is kind of funny because they've only really been in operation since fall of 2016.
So they're not even 2 years old at this point. Yeah, I think with their distribution, I've seen their stuff, but I haven't seen a lot of their stuff.
Yeah. So, okay. Why don't we crack one open?
Okay. This one first?
Go for it.
Okay. Do you want me to say what it is?
Or is this your... Go ahead. You can do it.
Okay. So the first one is Galactic Underworld. It is a hopped pineapple honey cider that is 6.9% alcohol by volume.
And I think all of their ciders are 6.9%. So this is from their Book of Nomad series. Okay.
You'll explain that later, what the Book of Nomad series is.
Yeah.
I'm just too inquisitive.
Isn't it hard to be on the other side of things?
Well, I mean... In a sense, yes, but I think it's cool just because I can legitimately react, instead of being like, I already knew this, but I should ask certain questions to get it on the podcast.
Kind of. I was like, I'm not really sure what information Carlin would want, and then I was asking him questions, and he's like, don't tell me anything. I want to actually react genuinely on the podcast.
Yeah.
So this is super, super clear. It almost looks like a ginger ale.
It's a little bit hazy. I can't see through it. I mean, I can kind of see, like, I can see there's something on the other side of the glass, but I can't, like, necessarily make out shapes or anything. There are a lot of large bubbles at the bottom, but then again, that's because I guess maybe there's a little bit of dirt in our glasses. Well, not dirt, but, you know, particulate from the air, most likely.
And I love that on the can it has ingredients. So, like, most of their apples come out of New York because they're based out of New York. Mm-hmm. So it says New York apples, pineapple, orange blossom, honey, galaxy. I'm not going to say this right. Matueka. Vic's Secret, and Blood Orange Zest.
Okay, so I don't think we're going to end up getting a whole lot of the hops.
Yeah, so I looked at, unfortunately, so they don't have a date code, and this particular beer came out almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh well.
What do you smell?
I mean, I'm getting a lot of kind of like a funky tartness.
Yeah, I definitely get a little bit of a funkiness. I get a lot of apple, obviously, because right. it's a cider, and that's the base of it. You're going to get a lot of that. But I feel like I do get pineapple, but the pineapple isn't like a tart pineapple. It's more like a sweet. Pineapple.
Yeah.
Kind of like the golden pineapple that it's we like had.
Pineapple
in the,
juice.
I think it was the Pineapple Manna by, why am I blanking on the name? Maui Brewing. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, it's that type of smell to me. But yeah, I do get a bit of a funkiness, which I was not expecting, because that usually indicates to me kind of like a Brettanomyces type thing going on, which I'm assuming is not the case in this beer. Or, I'm sorry, cider. That's going to be hard to get used to during this episode.
It's good.
It's more tart than it smells.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
But I think it has a nice, it's tart up front, but then it finishes with that pineapple sweetness.
Yeah.
So it kind of really rounds it out.
And there is a bit of like a funkiness on the finish, yeah. I feel like.
Okay.
I definitely get the pineapple, though. And like in the nose, it's like a sweet pineapple. So like all the tartness, I feel like it's coming from the apple. And then there's, like, the sweetness in the end coming from the pineapple flavor.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid.
Okay, so Graf Cidery, they're based out of Newburgh, New York, which is essentially, like, an hour and a half north of New York City. It was, like I said, I teased it. It started in fall of 2016. So the one article I read said it was started by a brother and sister. So Kyle, Cher, and Sarah. And then it also said with Kyle's girlfriend, Say Kennedy.
Okay.
But then when you actually go to their website, there's no mention of said girlfriend.
Ooh. So
I'm not really
ex-girlfriend.
It's hard to say, because clearly the two of them are not producing all of these ciders themselves, but it doesn't have anything else about, like, who works there. So, I don't know. A little bit about them, they said they wanted to honor some of the old techniques coming out of how, like, the Europeans make cider.
Oh, okay.
Which is some of that using, you know, not putting anything in it, and then using some of the new brewing techniques and using adding bacteria. So using the wild yeast and then adding the additional bacteria to create all those flavors, to create just essentially they wanted to make sour ciders that were dry.
So kind of like Millstone, who we've talked about on the podcast before.
Yes, and you know the connection.
No?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Or maybe I was told and I forgot.
So, I feel like this sounds familiar. So, yes, you may notice a very strong
similarity
to Millstone, which is out of Moncton, Maryland, because Kyle started Millstone with his father.
Oh, okay. And then moved on and started Graft.
Correct.
Oh. Well, then that's why they're similar. Yeah. But I was going to make the comparison of saying that to me, both of them are more like a dry approach to cider as opposed to like the sweet stuff, which I feel like turns a lot of people off who are into like craft drinks in general, because sweet's usually for, well, to use like an online term, noobs.
And so they ferment all of their ciders to 0 grams of sugar, except the ones where they add lactose, and that is down to only 1 gram. So I think that's kind of cool because it's really just like they don't add anything. No sulfites, no stabilizers. It's really just
the legit ingredients. Yeah. Which, that's cool.
I don't know. I mean,
I dig it.
Probably cool. Other places do that too, but it's just good to know what you're drinking. So yeah. You ready for that next one?
Yeah. And I want to let everyone know that because someone said this recently, Rebecca was trying to say the brewery and she was the cidery to someone and she was blanking on it for the moment and the person was like, wait a minute. Is it the one with the
bumpy labels?
Yeah, the textured labels. And they do have textured labels, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
The artwork is cool, too. There's a lot going on. All right, so the next cider is Escape from Orion. This is also in their Book of Nomad series. It is a hopped pineapple strawberry guava cider, which sounds awesome. 6.9%, which I think that's the same.
I told you, I think they're all 6.9%.
That's fine.
I think I read that on their website. Or at least a majority of them are 6.9%.
Oh, I smell that.
Guava?
And the strawberry. There's a little for you. We didn't rinse, did we?
No.
Oops.
Oh, well.
I'm sure we'll be all right.
Because
there's also pineapple in that.
Our little mini cat co-host has left us to observe the birds in the bushes.
Way more interesting, apparently.
Like, I mean, duh.
This looks very similar to the Galactic Underworld, but I do feel like there's a very, very slight reddish, orangish, or reddish pinkish tinge.
I agree. There's not as many large bubbles.
Yeah. It looks significantly more flat.
Yeah.
Than the last one. What does it smell like? Dude. Yeah, I smell that strawberry. I smell that guava.
It's definitely, you're getting some of those tropical notes.
Yeah. I don't think I can pick out the pineapple because the guava and the strawberry are so strong in comparison to where the pineapple is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mainly just get like apple, strawberry, guava. It smells really good,
actually.
And it's
not as, it doesn't smell as tart as the last one.
Yeah. I'm going to be interested to see how tart the flavor actually is in comparison to the first one. Whoa.
It's so strawberry and guava-y.
Yeah.
This is sweet.
I get the pineapple in the mix, though. The pineapple's adding that same kind of sweet note that was in the Galactic Underworld. And I feel like that's really good at kind of bridging the gap between the strawberry and the guava flavors. Because it's kind of like, it starts with a hit of strawberry, then goes to the pineapple, then goes to the guava for the finish. And guava for me is typically a little more acidic, which I do like on a finish because it's more dry. But yeah, that's nice.
I really like this.
You could have me blind taste this and tell me it's a beer, and I would believe it. I would. I really feel like I would.
So like I said, they do, obviously they just use all the wild yeast from the fruit, and then
there is a slight funk that I'm picking up on the end. Not as much as the Galactic Underworld, but there is a slight funk on the end.
And then they will add bacteria to certain ones, which I think they do put it on their labels. I don't think I picked any of those up just because I don't like this.
Okay, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, it just tastes a little vanilla-y, too.
Oh, is vanilla in there?
Yes, vanilla is in there. So their ingredients, they say New York apples, pineapple, strawberries, guava, Citra hops, El Dorado hops, Vic's Secret hops, milk sugar, and vanilla.
Okay.
So not only is there the actual vanilla for the flavor in there, but there's milk sugar in there to also make it a little creamier, which helps with the vanilla.
Give me a little hit of that. I'm really liking this.
Yeah, I like this.
And I wonder, and again,
that's good.
This one probably also isn't as fresh hop-wise.
Well, I like it where it is now.
I know.
A lot.
Right. So, again, it's hard to say. I mean,
so it kind of, I don't know, it makes me feel like these products are going to have a lot more shelf stability than hopped products that are beers.
Oh, for sure. Because they still stand up because of all those other flavor profiles that...
Yeah. Because at its base, the cider is better old than the beer, than the you know, malty beer for a hoppy beer.
Well, and another point, I mean, this is good as is, but some people who don't like hops may, again, prefer it this way. I don't know what it tasted like fresh, but...
Just layers of flavor on this. And that vanilla, it's just like... The vanilla is kind of like the whipped cream on top of like a sundae.
Yeah.
It's just like that extra little bit that you're just like, yeah, that completes the experience. Yeah.
So Kyle and his father started... Well, his father bought the mill house where Millstone is standing today. And I want to say it took him about 10 years to restore that. Mm. His father was a winemaker and had been like fermenting things for years. And he wasn't really sure what to do with that space. And his son Kyle said, let's make cider. So that's how that started. And then I didn't really figure out how or why Kyle went on his own. But I did look, and his father, Kurt, is still, you know... involved, at least in some capacity, with Millstone. Graft, they do not... did I already say they don't have a tasting room?
No.
Yeah, so they don't have a tasting room, so you can't really visit them. But they do distribute essentially the entire East Coast. I don't think up into Maine, but like Connecticut, Vermont, and all the way down to Florida. And then also British Columbia and Ontario. And in also into the UK, which was kind of weird.
Did you come across any figure on, like, what volume of product they're putting out?
No.
Because I feel like, or like the size of their facility.
No. There wasn't a whole lot of information.
Huh.
And it might be out there. I just didn't find it. So.
Yeah. I just was curious about that because I feel like they're less than 2 years old.
I know.
And their distribution sounds like it's very large.
Yeah.
Like a big distribution footprint.
Well, also the fact that they have 9 retired core ciders already.
Were all those retired after the first year?
I don't know, but it just seems like they're just people who are just want to have fun with it too. You know,
when you get the best products. Yeah. That's the way it is with craft beer too.
Yeah.
It's like the people who are just doing it because they love it. Like, you know, we were there recently, Union Brewing's kind of that way. Like, I know they set out to make it a business, but you can tell those guys are just having a good time.
Yeah.
Sam Calagione, Dogfish Head. Yeah.
Okay. I'm still sipping on this. I had more because it was so good.
Yeah. But this is where you learn how tough it is to actually like enjoy the product and keep up with getting to the next.
See, because Carlin's done. He's ready to go on, and I'm still sipping.
I'm just
this.
Sitting here waiting to taste some more cider, and you're messing around. Get with it. All right, here. Give you
rinse
your
me.
Water for a rinse. Yeah, we're definitely going to need a rinse now. Okay. So, the next one. The last one was the Escape from Orion. Did I say it was also part of the Book of
mm-hmm.
Nomad? Okay. And then this third one is also part of the Book of Nomad series, and it is their Tangle of Titans. It is a blackberry, blueberry, strawberry, goza cider, 6.9% alcohol as well. So we'll see about this one. And I had, when I was saying that I think I've only tasted like 2 of their other products, I know one of them was like a goza style
mm-hmm.
cider.
That's what they do a lot of those.
Which I remember when I had it being like, yeah, I see how this is like goza style. It really reminds me of like a goza beer.
Well, I think I had 2 last year when we went to the beach. And then this year, again on the beach, because these are like lighter styles.
Yeah.
I had 2 on the beach. So, yeah, I've had it, I think, more than you have. So, this is a beautiful color. It's like just a beautiful ruby red.
Yeah. little pink around the edges. I don't see, like, any carbonation. Mm-mm. It looks very, very, very flat. I know it let out some carbonation when I opened it up, but as soon as I started pouring it, it's very flat. Which I'm fine with that. Doesn't bother me.
I'm just getting a ton of apple.
Ooh, it's funky.
Yeah.
It's got, not only does it have, like, a funkiness on the end, there's something else. There's a little vinegary, maybe?
Maybe that's what I'm getting.
Yeah, there's like a slight vinegar on the end.
It's a familiar smell, but I don't know what it is.
I feel like it's just kind of like an overall smell that you get when you're in cideries.
Yes.
Of just like stuff is fermenting.
It's like apples and fermentation processes occurring. I'm not getting it now. A lot of the, are you getting any of the berries?
I do get a little bit of berry, but it comes off as kind of like nondescript dark berry smell. I wouldn't be able to pick it out specifically what it is, but that's pretty much it. I do. Yeah. Like you said, a lot of apple. There's a good amount of funkiness. Yeah. It just smells like stuff that's fermented.
So this
it smells a little salty too.
Ingredients in this: New York apples, blackberry, blueberry, strawberry, milk sugar, vanilla, and orris root. I don't know what orris root is. Do you?
No. I can look it up. How's it spelled?
I think it's just O-R-R-I-S.
Oh, yes. I taste the blackberry in there. Well, the berries in general, I think the mix of berries kind of like jumbles together, but it comes off a little wine-like, like red wine-ish to me because of that. Mm-hmm. I feel like it kind of drinks like a more substantial, darker flavored rosé. You're confused on that. You want to say no?
Yeah, I don't agree with that. Okay, well, while you're looking up what orris
root. Term used for the roots Iris germanica and Iris pallida. They're like iris.
The flower iris?
I don't. I mean,
what would that?
They're used in perfumes, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. Once important in Western medicine, herbal medicine, it is now used mainly as a fixative and base note in perfume. The most widely used fixative for potpourri.
Do you think they added that for aroma?
Maybe. But they say it's also an ingredient a lot of the times in gin.
Huh.
So that is interesting. You learn something new every day.
Yeah. Okay. So their two core / flagship ciders is Farm Floor. Floor as in F-L-O-R. And that is a rustic table cider. And then their second flagship is Lost Tropic, which is a hop mimosa cider. Hop
mimosa cider. Real quick, can I go back to this beer or this cider I'm drinking?
Sure.
It, like, I feel very firm in what I said about it tasting rosé? Like, it's like a more tannic version.
Okay, hold on. When's the last time you had a rosé?
Like 2 or 3 weeks. I think it was like 3 weeks ago. We did a rosé tasting where I tried like what 8 different rosés. Okay.
That's true. Never mind.
But no, I'm just talking like if one was done with a lot more skin contact than like a light rosé. It's like a more dark rosé because there's a tannin. There's a bitterness in there that's very like tannic.
Still too. You're getting too much of that apple fermenty taste.
Yeah. I mean, you're definitely getting that, but I get way more of the actual, like, berries and that tannic note than I do any sort of apple stuff.
Okay. So I talked about their core flagship. They have 9 retired core, which I won't go into those. And then they have their 4 seasonals, which are put out by season. So their spring seasonal is called Fields and Flowers, and that's made with rose hips, hibiscus, rooibos, and pink sea salt. So, did I say they're all goza?
I don't recall.
Okay, so these
are... I was thinking so much about what I was drinking that I didn't pay attention to that part.
Okay, so these are the four seasonal Goza ciders.
Okay.
Okay. Then there are... Summer one is called Salt and Sand.
I've had that.
Yes, you've had that one. I know I've had that one. And that is has lemon and lime zest and smoked sea salt. Their fall seasonal is called Peaks and Valleys. It's made with birch, cinnamon, anise, and pink sea salt. Anise, I think maybe is how it's said. And then their winter seasonal is called Where Secrets Lie, which I also think could be the name of a book.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Where Secrets Lie. It could be a movie.
Okay. That is made with hibiscus, rose petals, lavender, and pink sea salt.
Mm, I'm out. Lavender. I know. Gross. Won't do it.
Interesting.
Sounds like there's a bunch of stuff I'd like to try.
Yeah. I mean, all of them are like very, very interesting. So I want to quickly just talk about... So then there are other three series they have is their Book of Nomad series, which there are only four, and we have three of the four in their Book of Nomad series, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, almost so completed it.
Essentially, their Book of Nomad, they release a new, like, chapter each month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's essentially about... It's supposed to tell a story about a man named Nomad, and he's looking for his friend whose name is Dog.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
So that I think is what the artwork is supposed to depict. Now on the website, it has a little bit more about like the chapter of the book and to tell the story. I don't really know how just looking at it, you could.
No, it's pictorial kind of.
Yeah. But they're all like very different. So
each one's just like a scene.
Yeah.
In a sense.
So they were interviewing, I'm not sure who it was from Graf, but they were saying, and we know this is kind of like out there and kind of hard to comprehend, but we're just essentially having a lot of fun with this.
I think that orris root in that cider is what's making it so rosé-like. Because it also kind of like reminds me of potpourri a little bit. Not in a bad way. I hate the smell of potpourri, but, you know.
Is this the Secrets of Orion?
No. Tangle of Titans?
No. Okay, so the Book of Nomad, there's like three stories within the Book of Nomad series. One, and I guess we don't know which.
I don't think we can tell a full story here.
So one is called The Secrets of Orion. Those are four, and they're tropical fruit and hopped ciders. Then you have the Wrath of Celestia, which are all berry lactose Goza ciders, and there's four of those.
Okay, so that's the one we just drank. One of those.
So that's
because that also has, well, yeah, milk sugar.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then the last, I guess, segment of the Book of Nomad series is called the Domain of Datica, which are fruited mochi ciders.
Oh, well, we've not had any of that.
No, we didn't have any of those.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Mochi, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like a traditional Japanese ice cream that's actually, I think it's done with like bean paste, so it's actually like very chewy.
Okay, so I'm going to crack open this last one. So this is from their Shared Universe series, which essentially is just like their collab line. And again, they don't, when they collaborate with other, normally it's a brewery, they don't usually make a beer. They still make a cider, and it's just usually sharing ideas is what they said.
So.
Okay. So this one is called Banana Them All to Hell, which is supposed to be a banana foster cider. And the ingredients include New York apples, bananas, milk sugar, dark rum, and vanilla. And I'm assuming it's, 6.9%.
Do they select the number 69?
Oh, oops.
Oh, what happened? Are you going to be able to get that open?
Nope. It's cracked a little bit.
What happened?
Oh, you
there,
got it.
There, I
got okay.
it. I brute forced that thing.
It kind of cracked, but it didn't, like, open all the way.
Yeah, so the pouring's a little weird and dicey, but...
As long as you get it.
You have water in there.
Oh, man. How did that happen?
I don't think you want a 50-50 of cider and water. It's not going to taste good. It's a slow pour out of this can. Sorry, folks. Yeah, the tab was breaking at the top.
I know. Well, this definitely seemed to have a little bit more carbonation.
It looks kind of nasty. It looks like dirty dishwater. You know, it's just like, like whitish, yellowish, cloudy, with like no carbonation pretty much. And it just looks like dirty dishwater or like overly, like lemonade that has way too much water in it.
Yes. No, I think it looks like lemonade. It
smells like friggin' bananas.
Yes, it does.
Like a lot of bananas.
Carlin doesn't like bananas.
I get like, is there cinnamon in there?
No. Are you getting the vanilla? There's no spice.
I do feel like I'm getting a little bit of vanilla. The spice is probably coming from the rum. But I smell like cinnamon. Maybe a little bit of like clove in there.
Well, that's good though, because you want it to be like a banana foster.
Well, it is kind of like brown sugary too in there. It is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's probably all the rum.
It really does smell like Bananas Foster. Yeah. No, it really does. I smell a little bit of apple in there, too,
With apple, yeah. Well, it tastes exactly... I'm getting a lot of cinnamon on the taste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It finishes apple.
Yeah.
But you get all the other flavors up front. Like, it's banana, cinnamon, clove, vanilla, apple... brown sugar in there.
I know this might not be your jam, but I think it's well executed for what they were trying to achieve.
It, you know, it's weird. It tastes a little astringent, though, which I'm assuming that's coming from the rum in there because it's a spirit and they always kind of have like that astringent finish. So I'm guessing that they weren't able to totally get rid of that if they're like actually mixing in that rum, but it's not like crazy off-putting. It just feels a little weird in there to me.
Yeah. So the last line I didn't talk about is their Cloud City line, which are their Dreamsicle ciders.
Okay.
So I know I drank on the beach this year was their Hop Passion Fruit Dreamsicle, and it was very good. And
why didn't you save any for me?
Because you didn't go to the beach.
Well, I don't go to the beach, but you could have saved some.
That would have been difficult.
Well, right.
So it's essentially like all different fruits, like, and dreamsicle. So another one in that line is a guava dreamsicle.
Oh, okay.
So that's a good concept. Yeah.
All right.
So that's all the like information I have.
That's everything?
Yeah.
You just learned us all on some graft cider?
I did. I schooled you all, yeah.
Consider yourselves all schooled. So what did you think about doing this episode? Was it fun to do the research? Was it fun to be the person kind of mainly hosting it?
I mean, I guess it was fun doing it. It was not fun leading up to this when you were harassing me on the reg to get my research done.
Because at Brutal Battle, we run a tight ship. Because I am not having my listeners not have an episode. There will be an episode every single week until we decide not to do the podcast at all. Or something crazy comes up.
He was like, okay, I want you to do this sometime soon. Okay, okay. Okay, we're going to do it the next 2 weeks. Okay. I want to do it tomorrow.
Well, yeah, but that was after a week had gone by, pretty much.
I was like, okay.
I was giving you a little bit extra time thinking, maybe she'll be like go-getter about it. She'll be like, I'm going to get this taken care of. And then it just became very apparent that it was going to be the last minute thing. And I was like,
prioritize my life based on what is like necessary at certain times. And this, I had a little bit more leeway.
I prioritize my life based on this podcast because I care about the listeners over anything else in my life. That's not true.
So I think I definitely like each individual cider a lot. I will say looking at four open cans, it seemed a little daunting to drink them all.
Yeah, especially because I'm going to have acid reflux like crazy, I think.
Yeah, because that's what happens when you get as old as Carlin is.
Yep, sure does.
go take that acid reflux pill.
Are we ranking them?
Oh, yeah. We do like to rank them, don't we?
Do you want me to go first or you go first?
Go ahead.
So, my number one has got to be The Escape from Orion. That was the one, the hopped pineapple strawberry guava cider with the milk sugar and vanilla.
Yeah.
That's my favorite by far, by far. Then after that is the Tangle of Titans. That's the blackberry, blueberry, strawberry, goza cider that also had milk, sugar, and vanilla. Then the Banana Them All to Hell, which was the Bananas Foster's cider with the milk, sugar, and the rum and the vanilla. And my last one, I still like it, but it's just in comparison to all the other ones, I think it's the weakest offering. The Galactic Underworld, which is the hopped pineapple honey cider that has blood orange zest in there, orange blossom honey. Yeah.
Give me a splash of that. Of I think one? Our rankings will be very similar.
Yeah. I would think most likely. Yeah. I don't think I want to drink any more of the Banana Foster one just because I'm just not big on that flavor. Like, I'm not a big banana person. I only like to eat bananas straight. I don't like bananas in things.
Okay, so ours is going to be very similar with my number one, the Escape from Orion, the hopped pineapple strawberry guava.
I want to drink all that.
Yeah.
That's great.
My number two, I think, is the Banana Foster's one.
Okay.
And then my number three is the Tangle of Titans, the blackberry, blueberry, strawberry, goza style. And then, unfortunately, I mean, this isn't bad. The hopped, the Galactic Underworld, the hopped pineapple honey cider. It's just, yeah, like you said, the weakest offering.
Yeah, but it also makes me wonder what it would taste like
fresh
with the hops in there because it is on the older end. And I do want to point out that they don't date code.
Yeah, we did.
So it does make it kind of hard because, you know, people who may not go into a particular liquor store for a while and then they walk in and they see, you know, maybe this is still sitting on the shelf and they're like, oh, I've never seen that before. Must be new. And it's not new. Like, it's tough. So really, you know, I know they're less than 2 years old, but you guys really should look into date coding. It's worth it.
Well, and that's essentially what happened to us. You know, I just like picked them up. Honestly, I didn't even think to look because I was like, they're ciders.
Yeah.
You know?
Honestly, though, with a cider and with the way these taste, I don't think that if someone gets a really old one, it's going to taste bad. Because,
it's not like a hoppy beer. Yeah.
Like I was saying earlier, like, I feel like the base of a cider is way more stable than the base of a beer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, take it for what it is.
My teeth already feel like
grimy.
Yeah.
Like enamels being stripped off a little bit.
Yeah, I'm surprised I have any teeth left.
Well, because a bunch of these have like a bit of a vinegary note,
mm-hmm.
and it builds as you're drinking it. And
I mean, are my teeth still intact?
They look like they're falling out. Not all there.
Okay. So, anything else you want to say?
Nope. Not at all.
Okay. Well, then I'll say it. Keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.